It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
And we are joining after a long time our European correspondent, that is Karan, because we finally have European football back on the menu.
Yeah, that sounds tasty.
We obviously haven't had the Champions League for a long time. It got suspended in between, and it got suspended with a breaking pandemic that, you know, was really severe, particularly in Italy, Spain, and a few of the other countries, including France. Actually, all teams who are who have clubs or countries who have clubs represented in the Champions League, which has led to the unprecedented move that these teams will now be playing a straight knockout quarterfinals and semifinals and final in a tournament format. Which of course has not been around for a while, Karan.
Yep, I think it's a very different kind of an environment when it comes to club football, at least. I mean, we're used to seeing something like this when it comes to international football with the knockout stages of the World Cups or Euros, etc. But when it comes to club football, I can't recall ever having, you know, experienced such a format, which is not necessarily a bad thing, as we've been discussing. We'll
get to that in a bit. So we will, of course, take you through all of that. But first, let's talk about the draw, Karan. We have four very interesting quarterfinals lined up, because a couple of those quarterfinals have a few permutations and combinations to be worked out. It looks like a future cat question in most places in terms of figuring out who's going to play who, especially in the latter quarterfinals, because we only know four of the quarterfinalists for sure. So, of course, the first quarterfinal is going to be Atalanta versus Paris Saint-Germain, a game that we are calling the class struggle derby, because clearly the financial gap there is humongous. But as we'll discuss, Karan, this is something interesting because of how Atalanta have been performing.
Absolutely. I think Atalanta have been an absolute revelation over the last couple of seasons, and more so after the COVID break. They've won 6 out of 6 since then, and here's a little stat for you when it comes to Atlanta. They've won 11 in a row. They've won 12 of their last 13 unbeaten, conceded 15 goals, 4 clean sheets, and have scored a whopping 43 goals in that time.
And of
in
course,
all competitions.
And of course, there is the small matter that PSG basically have not played for about 4 months now.
Yep. I think that is going to play a huge factor in this. So it's not as straightforward as everybody is making it out to be.
Because
this is another team in form.
Paris Saint-Germain, not a team historically with a humongous record against Serie A opposition. The last time they won against Serie A opposition, I think, was in 1996. And they have not won in the last 8 games where they have met Serie A opposition in Europe. So should be very interesting given the history and what we are facing currently in terms of the current runs of forms of both teams.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think it's reaching that point where Paris Saint-Germain have really need to make that step up if they really want to be considered an elite in Europe, and these are the sorts of games that they need to win. If anything, the draws actually played out quite well in their favour, so they're not really going to be encountering any of the so-called big boys until possibly a final. So, you know, it's all there for them, even for Atletico for that matter. But having said that, you can say the same for Atlanta as well, and Leipzig.
Yes, which is the second game we want to talk about. It's Leipzig against Atletico. Atletico, of course, knocking out holders Liverpool in the last round. And they are up against Leipzig. But again, we should remember, Karan, that this is a one-legged quarterfinal, or, essentially a single knockout game, which means surely Leipzig will fancy their chances here.
Absolutely, no doubts about it. And the same goes for Atlanta as well. Right, you just need one mistake, maybe one slip from a defender, or a 50-50 call that goes your way, or maybe even a bad decision that goes against you, and you could have the potential for an upset, or you could even have a situation that Greece pulled off back in 2004, where they pretty much parked like 27 people in front of the ball, and got a few headers in at the other end.
The Greek defense was the highest employment the Greek economy has had for a while. Since.
Yeah, pretty much, I think.
Nonetheless, we should mention, though, that Atletico have a fantastic record when it comes to knockout ties against German teams. They have a habit of knocking German teams out, so Leipzig will be definitely wary of that. And Atletico is also one of those teams who have a very good temperament for a single-game knockout format.
I think it plays perfectly into their gentle style of play. The only, I would say, negative is not the right term, but the only confusing part over here would be this is an Atletico team who have made a conscious effort in the last couple of seasons to move away from what traditionally kind of gave them that edge. So it's going to be quite interesting to see which tactic they kind of go with when it comes to these single knockout games.
Because you're looking at a very different situation here. You're probably planning for three straight games, and that's what you're thinking of trying to win.
Pretty much,
And now we get to the teams, Karan, who don't have three straight games. We have to think about four, and this is an absolute mess in terms of the setups, because the third quarter final is the winner of Napoli versus Barcelona, which there is a second leg to be played, against the winner of Chelsea versus Bayern. There are all sorts of intriguing possibilities. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier in the day who's a Chelsea fan, and I was saying I wouldn't mind Chelsea versus Barca in the quarterfinal, and he said he didn't mind it either. But Karan, first let's address Chelsea versus Bayern Munich, from where we have to figure out who gets out. On paper, it would appear Bayern Munich have a 3-0 lead going into the second leg, but...
But this is, we know what Bayern are capable of in critical Champions League situations. We know what Bayern are capable of in critical Champions League situations against Chelsea. And we most definitely know what Bayern are capable of in critical Champions League situations against Chelsea at home.
So it's the whole trifecta that comes into play. And definitely that's going to be a potential issue, because Bayern have shown a little bit of... well, let's say lack of resilience when it comes to knockout games in the Champions League of late. We know what happened to them last time around against Liverpool, who went to Munich and got a fantastic result. That should give Chelsea hope. In fact, ironically, there are two results which give Chelsea hope here. The fact that Liverpool overturned a 3-0 deficit last time in the knockouts as well. And of course, the fact that they went to Bayern and beat them.
True. Yeah. Is it 3-0 or was it 3-1? It's been so long. I can't even remember.
I'm talking about the Barca game. current.
No, I know. I meant the Chelsea Bayern one. Is it 3-0 or is it 3-1? I'm not able to recall the score.
I think it was 3-0, but nonetheless, the point being that Chelsea need about three goals once they.
Pretty much. Yeah. So either ways, smart money would still be on Bayern. Let's not deny that.
Given that the Bundesliga was one of the first things to come back in action after the COVID break, and not to mention also that Bayern have looked in pretty good form there, have sealed the tournament quite early, won the German League Cup as well. So they look to be in a good run of form. But on the other side, Karan, another match which has been so long, we have completely forgotten what happened there. Napoli against Barcelona.
Napoli, to be fair, have shown some good form in recent times. They won the Italian Cup against Juventus in the final a couple of weeks back. Gattuso has actually turned things around to such an extent where at one point of time an absolutely potentially disastrous season for Napoli is actually, they're actually able to, you know, pull out a certain amount of respectability from it as of now.
And they can potentially dream of a cup and a European Cup double at this point. Just to bring everybody up to speed, last time Barca and Napoli played, it finished 1-1 in Napoli, which means Barca, of course, have the away goal lead. But Barca taking a slight advantage into the second leg, as we found out last year, doesn't mean quite a lot at this point.
True, true, true. I guess the only thing, the only difference would be, I still, in the last, I would say, seven, eight, nine, maybe even 10 years, how many times have Barca lost at home? I can think of maybe one against Bayern, was it? Where Bayern were just in imperious form. Maybe a few group stage games where I think Rod Stewart was in tears, if I'm not mistaken. Or I don't remember if that was in Celtic Park.
And of course, from here, like we said, there are so many different possibilities, but one would expect maybe a Barca and a Bayern to go through and perhaps set up a blockbuster quarterfinal right there, which is what generally everybody would be expecting. But like we said, Barca versus Chelsea would be mouthwatering too. And even a Bayern versus Napoli would not be too bad either in terms of clash of styles.
Yep, absolutely. I think there's a lot of intriguing puzzles to be solved yet before we really start, thinking more seriously about the quarterfinals.
And speaking of puzzles to be solved, Karan, let's get to the fourth quarterfinal, which, of course, features Juventus, but currently features Juventus in pre-production mode because they are not confirmed to be in that quarterfinal because they are part of one of the unfinished matches against Olympique Lyon, where I think they trail 1-0 from the first leg. But
Yeah, they
we'll
do.
come back to that game right at the end, Karan. I want to address first the standing of the other two sides on the other sides, which makes it even more intriguing. It's Real Madrid versus Manchester City, a team which is the most successful in Europe versus a team which desperately craves success in Europe. Currently, as things stand, City take the two away goals and a one goal advantage into the second leg that they will be playing about a month from now. Again, Karan, how do we see this one playing out at the Etihad? It's probably going to be behind closed doors, so at least Manchester City will be in familiar environments on a European night.
Man, we really are in some form tonight. No, true. I think I would say with regards to this particular tie, I think it's the toughest to call in many ways. Because had this tie taken place when it was supposed to, I think the smart money would have been for Manchester City to go through. Because at that point of time, Real was still in a bit of a mess. But since then, since the break, etc., etc., City are still in very good form. There's no doubts about that. But Real have really stepped up their game ever since the restart, and they are in fact in pole position in the league as of now as well. This is not something that we would have even thought of in the beginning of the season, because Real were in such a precarious situation. They couldn't even buy a win at one point of time.
All right, and of course we come right down to the final game, Karan, which you have to sort out, which is of course one that includes the only surviving soccer sense team in the tournament yet, and
Yeah,
just
but how
by
much
that
longer?
much, and that would be Juventus, who will play Lyon. Karan, on current form, should they be able to overturn that deficit against Lyon? It's not a huge deficit, so definitely places them in a better position than most teams when it comes to the second leg.
Yes, I think on current form they should, because barring the two Coppa Italia games, when it comes to the league, they really have been quite free-flowing in terms of the number of goals they've been scoring, irrespective of the mess that they pulled off at the San Siro the other night. Ronaldo and Dybala have both been in quite blitzkrieg form, if anything. In fact, they've been better after the break than before it in many ways.
And remember, Dybala actually recovered from a COVID infection.
Exactly, which is quite shocking if you think about it. When it comes to Lyon, I think it's going to be a bit of similar to PSG. They basically haven't played any football for the last 3 to 4 months, and asking them to come and play away from home in Turin against a team that is basically has Ronaldo up front, I think it's quite an ask. But having said that, the big, big question mark, as always, when it comes to this Juventus team, is that midfield, which has been an absolute liability in recent seasons, which was a huge liability in the first leg against Lyon. If anything, the 1-0 actually flatters Juventus because it should have been a lot, lot worse.
And they're struggling to get shots away. They barely got any shots on target, which probably was what frustrated Juventus and Juventus fans the most. And that's what they would want to change. But of course, the return leg is in Turin, so that could mean something in terms of Juventus turning it around. Mostly, we do expect this to be a scenario where we get to see a blockbuster quarterfinal. Featuring potentially Juventus, and you could take anybody from Real or Manchester City, and it should be a fun quarterfinal.
I'd take Real. I would love to take Real.
and that would be another great clash as well, notwithstanding 2017. But
notwithstanding Ronaldo.
So there's so many threads running through this current. But as we said, we really love this new format because, you know, we could end up with an Atlanta versus Lyon in the final, or a Leipzig versus Lyon in the final, and the UEFA Europa League will be left wondering where did our marquee clashes go and when did they become Champions League finals. But it's completely plausible, like you said, because the knockout format suddenly adds something else to the tournament.
Definitely, no question about it. I think we were just discussing, we've discussed at least a couple of times in recent weeks that might not be a bad idea for UEFA to even introduce this sort of, you know, a format going forward as well. Maybe choose a venue, maybe choose a couple of venues wherein you can host the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the finals. And you can actually make a carnival out of it, a 10-day carnival of, you know, of football, maybe around about at the end of the season. I think the NFL in the US uses a similar format.
Yeah, that would be a typical postseason, or it could also be the NCAA college basketball mode in terms of actually getting a tournament mode on, like a Final Four or something of that sort.
Pretty much.
Which is definitely something worth considering, given how this current crisis has made us think differently about a lot of these tournaments. Of course, we will be bringing you all the results and analysis from those very intriguingly placed second legs, for sure. And of course, the quarterfinals as well. And for once, we will be able to bring you direct results and analysis on four straight days, Karan, because the quarterfinals are one day after the other. So we should be able to have pods right after those. And that's an exciting prospect as well.
Very much so. I'm on leave that entire week, by the way, FYI.
Karan planning early to make sure that it does not miss out on the Champions League. And neither will you. If you're following the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at SenSoccer or on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. We are also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well as Google Podcasts. That's all the time we have. And hopefully we look forward to a fantastic knockout phase of the Champions League. Meanwhile, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
Safely distancing and resuming his European correspondent duties.
Yep.
See you guys next time.